Well, last week, as I said, we looked at John 15, verses 1 through 17. In this chapter, Jesus uses the analogy of the grapevine and the gardener to illustrate both the intimacy and the fruitfulness that results from a close relationship with Jesus. Scripture defines this relationship as abiding. Abiding means to remain or to stay. Jesus said he is the true vine, the Father is the gardener, and his disciples are the branches. The word disciple comes from the Greek word mathetes, meaning learner or pupil. Disciples are followers of Jesus who learn his teaching and then apply them to their lives. Every believer should be a disciple. Disciples live effectively for Jesus when they abide or remain in the vine. Now, one of my favorite summer plants is the tuberous begonia. It produces large, brilliant, and layered flowers, but the thing about these plants is that they are subject to stem root if too much water gets on the stems. So I have to be very careful when I water it to water it away from the stems. Now, when the stem begins to rot, it slumps over and eventually breaks away from the plant. And for a while, the leaves remain beautiful and vibrant looking, but any buds that were preparing to bloom on the stem will not open because it cannot bloom apart from the plant. Well, when we allow the sinful things of this world to cling to us, they cause spiritual stem rot. Unconfessed sin separates us from God. It breaks our intimacy with the Lord Jesus. So the more we give place to sinful thoughts, sinful patterns and actions, the more they infiltrate our behavior. And before we know it, just like the tuberous begonia that gets stem rot and breaks away, we begin to feel disconnected from Jesus. And we leave ourselves open for sin to get a stronghold in our lives. And, unfortunately, then we fail to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's why it's so very important to stay connected to the Lord. Staying connected to the Lord is an active thing. It's something that we must be intentional about because it is so easy to get caught up in the everyday distractions and busyness of life and keep our relationship with God on the sidelines. If God is an afterthought in your daily living, then you are not abiding in Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." There's not ever a moment in our lives when God does not desire to guide us and direct us. But we've got to seek his face. Amen? As we make time for worship, for prayer, for reading and studying God's word, we stay connected to the Lord. And it's not just important to read the word, we must obey it and let it become a vital part of the way we live. When we read and study the scriptures and apply them to our lives, they then become a tool that the Holy Spirit uses to guide us and correct us and shape godly character in us. Reading the word without applying it to our lives is like baking a cake without following the directions. Have you ever done that? Baked a cake, cut into the cake, and it was horrible. It was all soft and runny on the inside. Or you tasted it and you wanted to spit it out because it was just plumb nasty. Amen? Well, sometimes people take a bite out of us and want to spit it out too. Amen? Because we're not applying the word to our lives. As I said last week, one of the byproducts or fruit of remaining connected to Christ is the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our lives. In John chapter 15, Jesus specifically focused on the fruit of love. In John 15, verses 9 through 10, he said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, another byproduct of abiding in Christ is a fruitful witness. And another is answered prayer. In verses 7 and 16, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that my Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name." Now, this is the main reason why I didn't want to move from chapter 15 today. So this is the time to wake up. Amen. The fruitful Jesus is talking about here is not material riches. It is the fruit of the Spirit displayed in our lives that should attract people to Jesus and thereby making them new members of God's family. Yes, we all want to know that when we pray that our prayers will be answered. And at times we get puzzled when God doesn't answer the way we've requested. But some people use scriptures like these to teach that we can have what we say. I bet you if you turned on the television or the radio this morning, you heard a minister say, "You can have what you say." Haven't you heard it? Hence, that's where the prosperity gospel and the name it and claim it gospel come from. And yes, while the scripture does teach us that there is life and death in the tongue, and that our words do have power for good or evil, Jesus' words in John 15 are grounded in our remaining connected to him. And that's important. When we are molded by the word, when we surrender our wills to God, as Jesus modeled throughout his life on earth, we will pray according to God's will. And when we pray according to God's will, then we will have the things that we ask for. The things that are on God's heart will be on our hearts as well, because the Father and the Son have come and made their home in us through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 23, Jesus said, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Thus, Jesus saying, abide in me as I abide in you. Now, that doesn't mean that we cannot ask for our needs or even for our desires. Psalm 84, verse 11 tells us that God will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. But as we grow in Christ, we come to understand that God's ways are not always our ways. And when the Lord does not answer the way we have requested in faith, faith assures us that God has something better in mind and will work all things, whether good or bad, to our benefit. Those things that we are asking the Lord to move, those things that we are asking God to change and heal and deliver us from in an instant, we want God to do it now, don't we?
Yes,
God, my knees hurt. Heal me now. Amen. My son's acting crazy. Save him now. Amen. That co-worker's getting on my nerves. Lord, deal with them now. Amen. The weather's bad, Lord. Change it now. Amen. We act like we're in control. But God is sovereign. Amen. And maybe the things that we want to be so badly delivered from are the things that God is using in the pruning process to make us stronger Christians and to make us more useful to the work of Christ in the world. The things that prick us. Do you have things that prick you? I'm sorry, but I do. There's things I've been praying about for a long time. And I know God hears me, because he hears me about other stuff, and because his word tells me that he will hear. But sometimes he says, I'm sorry, daughter. My grace is sufficient for you. You're going to have to live with that. Amen?
Sometimes.
That's the truth.
That's right.
And what it does, as I said last week, God then is shaping and molding us and forming compassion and mercy in us. Because if you have never gone through anything, you say the stupidest things to people. And then you cannot be an effective witness of God's love and God's grace. And you can't be an effective witness and vehicle of his love and his mercy, because what he uses us, right? He uses us. God not using that wall to get anybody saved. Amen. He uses us. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpieces. And if we say the wrong thing, if we behave in the wrong way, if we have an ungodly, critical attitude toward people who are struggling with sin, they won't come to know Jesus. Because the only Jesus people will see is the Jesus in you. So if you act ugly, they're going to think Jesus is ugly. And they're going to say, why do I need that Jesus? Amen?
That's right.
So God allows things to prick us and to challenge us, because God is using those things. God is also teaching us so that we can stand effectively against the tricks of the devil. Because as the scripture tells us, the devil is what? Walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He'd like nothing better than to devour us. But as the scripture tells us, greater is he that is in you, in me, amen, than he that's in the world. Jesus said we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Jesus defeated the devil, therefore we have the victory. But again, we only have the victory if we remain in Jesus, if we stay connected to Jesus. Amen? When we abide in the vine, we will keep our eyes on Jesus and our ears attuned to his voice. And he warns us not to get out ahead of his guidance and his will when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. Don't get big-headed now. Amen. Like, we'll get a success sometimes, and all of a sudden we think, okay, Lord, I got it from here. Amen. And then God's going to let something else come on in to wake us up and remind us, no, you really don't have it. It's not about you. Amen. Because it is in him that we are made right. And it is through his presence in our lives then that we can be transforming agents in our families and in our communities. When we abide in Christ, when we stay actively attuned to our dependence upon him, we receive faith to attempt what we thought was impossible. And as I always say, God does not have to bless our plants. It's the truth. But God will bless his plants as they work through us. The key to fruitfulness and answered prayer, then, is abiding in the vine. Amen. Gotta stay connected. Gotta intentionally stay connected. It's more than coming to church on Sunday morning for an hour. Amen. It's more than getting up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And then you go on, you don't think nothing else about the Lord until you hit the bed, and then you say thank you again. That's not enough. It's not. We've got to let that word get in us. We've got to begin to live according to that word. If we don't understand, then we've got to ask the Spirit to say, help me to understand God's word so that I can apply it to my life. Because what's the scripture say? In the last days, even the righteous will be deceived. Amen. We got ministers saying all kind of crazy mess. If you go against Donald Trump, you go against God. Take one scripture. We preached on this when we were in Romans, Romans 13. Take two verses of scripture, make a whole doctrine, and bind folk. Scripture never told us to call darkness light. And throughout scripture, we see people of God, prophets of God, God sending prophets to speak to leaders when they were in sin to tell them they better get it right or they were going to come under judgment. But you got folk with 25,000 followers believing that they are speaking the word of God and these people are following them. You better know the word for yourself. Amen? Because if I say something crazy, don't listen to me. Amen? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I stop following Christ, you just pray for me and you keep following Jesus. He is the vine. We are the branches. We've got to stay connected to the vine. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. You have given us everything we need to stay connected to you. First, you gave us your life that broke down the walls of partition in order that we can be reconciled to God, that we are now welcomed at your throne of grace. Then you give us your Spirit, your very life, to live inside of us, to renew us day by day, to guide us, to purify us, if only we surrender our wills to you. And you've given us your word. Your word is life. Through your word, people find salvation. Through your word, we learn how to live effectively as your followers. Help us, O God, with an urgency to live attuned to your voice and a heart that seeks to obey your will. God, that we will be useful in the work of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.